I actually got to get there myself. Okay, so, verse 12. You guys there? Everybody's out? Okay, well, no rush. Take your time. 3, verse 12. As in like 1, 2, 3, 4. Just kidding. Okay, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A short passage, but it's got a lot in it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for these words of encouragement that you have for us, that you've given to us through Paul and through all that he's experienced in his life and all that he went through in his life. And we pray that as Christians, Lord, that we would take what he's giving us and try to apply it to our lives to the best of our abilities. We pray that you'd fill me with your spirit to speak your word, and that each word that comes out of my mouth would be from you. And we pray that we would all grow deeper in you today. We pray all this in your name. All God's people said, amen. All right, so we got to get a little bit of a backstory for this passage. So last Sunday, we looked at the life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Remember, we instead of looking at the cross as like the thing we normally sing about, we looked at it as like an actual form of execution. And it was pretty brutal. I think some of you were like gagging when we were talking about the cross. But it was really good to have that realization and understanding of the cross, and that Jesus was God and came down and took the cross, which is crazy for fully God, fully man to have done that for us. And then on Wednesday, Sam showed us that we do not become more Christ-like and more spiritually mature by what we've done or what we do, but we just need to have the confidence in the cross. So we just need to rest on what Christ did instead of trying to earn our spiritual maturity or earn our like spiritual depth as a Christian or becoming more Christ-like. It's only by the power of the cross. And we have the ability to just rest and relax on that. So today, Paul's got like a shout out to all the athletes. Any athletes in the room? We got a few. Okay, that's pretty cool. But he's got a shout out to all the athletes. But he's not only talking to athletes, but he's really like, if you're an athlete, this one's for you. Paul's like, athletes out there, this one's for you. But he's not only talking to the athletes. He's going to show us how the Christian life is just like running a race. So I titled this morning's teaching, hashtag get your jog on. Get it? Like, it's time to jog. Gotta get your jog on. We see the Christian life compared to a race. We see it a few times in Scripture. Like 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul does it again in 1 Corinthians 9. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who he is, but we know that he said, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we see this metaphor of a race, or of running a race as a Christian, all throughout Scripture, all throughout the New Testament, really. But anybody familiar with the Greek culture would have known exactly what Paul is talking about. Does anybody know why? Why Greeks would have been like, yes, races. Yes, Olympics. Okay, this is crazy. So at this time, at the time that Paul wrote this letter, the Olympics were like 800 years deep. They had already been doing the Olympics for 800 years. How crazy is that? I did like Olympic research and I was like, wow, that's crazy. They've been doing this for a long time. At the time of, like at this time, the Olympics, it was just a 5-day event. Now it's like, what, 2 weeks or something? A week? Is it still five?
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks. Two winter, two summer, I think. Something like that. I don't really know. I'm not a big Olympic fan. But at this time, it was just a 5-day event. And on the second day, they had the main event of the games, and that was the foot race. It was crazy. What they would do is they'd have four different types of foot races, and they'd be in a, what do you call those, like, arenas? They'd be in an arena. And they'd have, like, a sprint where they would run, like, one time around it. They'd have two times around it, so more like a long sprint. They'd have a long distance where it was, like, 7 to 24 times around, which is a big range. And then they'd have one where you're in full armor, running barefoot, not barefoot, armor-footed, but you're running on your feet. And you do like 2 to 7 laps, I think. And they'd run this race, and then they'd have a winner, and everybody would be like, "Oh, you won, awesome, good job." But Greece was doing the sports. Like, this had wrestling, this had boxing, this had racing, and racing was like the pinnacle. I feel like if you were a racer, you would have been like, I don't know, like the top athletes. The racers were like the people where people have their posters on the wall and everything, you know? But it was actually Greece, so they would have been like statues of racers. But we need to remember that Philippi, though it is like a Roman civilization, remember that it's colonized by the Romans, it's actually right in the middle of Greece. So this wasn't just random. Paul wasn't one day just like, "When I'm a Christian, I feel like I'm Roman." No, Paul was like, these people know all about races because they're surrounded by the country of Greece. And they understand running. They get it. They know what it is. So Paul starts talking about this with a humble honesty. And this is what's crazy. Notice in the start of the passage, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." So Paul's saying, I haven't already arrived. I haven't made it. He's saying, like, basically, I'm not an expert racer. I'm not the best runner out there. But he's talking about this in Christian terms, the metaphor. So he's basically saying, like, I haven't reached the peak of spiritual maturity. I haven't reached the peak of spiritual depth. And this can be so important for us as Christians, just as kind of a side note, to realize, you know, so often we can say, or even like subconsciously just think that we've arrived. You know, when we hear verses, "I don't mean to grow in that, but I'm thankful that you told me that so I can tell other people to grow in it." Or we can, because we know so many verses, because we were baptized at a really young age, whatever it may be, we can think that when we open the Bible, certain passages that we know so well, they don't speak to us as strongly because we've, you know, in our eyes, we've already arrived. We've already reached a point of spiritual maturity where it's like God is now just like walking with us hand in hand. But no, we'll always be growing. And as Christians, we should never get to a place where we're just comfortable with how we are as a Christian. We always need to be going deeper, pushing deeper into what Christ has for us, getting to know Him better. And that's what Paul says. He says he presses on towards spiritual depth and towards Christ-likeness. So instead of saying, like, I'm one of the greatest Christian minds of all time, which Paul was, he says, no, I need to keep growing in depth. I need to keep getting to know Jesus more. I need to keep studying the Old Testament more. I need to keep writing to people, growing with them, and loving God. And so Paul is encouraging us today. He's encouraging us in our race to do two things, and they're what we're going to look at today. Are you ready? One, we're going to look at forgetting what's behind. So, forgetting what's behind us, simply. And then two, we're going to look at focusing on what's ahead. So one, that's forgetting what's behind. Two, focusing on what's ahead. So, forgetting what's behind. Paul had a lot of good in his past. So often we can just think of Paul as a bad guy in his past, but Paul had a lot of good stuff to rest on. Philippians 3, 5 through 6, we looked at this with Sam on Wednesday, but it says, Paul was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul had it all. He looked right, he dressed right, he was born into the right family, born into the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, he was academically excellent, so like, as far as his religious studies went, he was doing super well. He was, like, a religious expert. He knew the Bible, studied the Bible, and followed the law, the old law, completely. Crazy. He was, like, the pinnacle of the religion. So, as far, because he was a Jew at the time, so he was in the Jewish religion. And he was, like, not the highest you could be, but he was doing everything right. Looking right, dressing right, acting right, living right, and doing all the correct things. But he also had some bad in his past. In verse 6, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Before Paul became a Christian, he was known as Saul, and he was a Christian persecutor. Or not a Christian persecutor. He persecuted Christians. You know what I mean. But this doesn't just mean that he treated them poorly. That, like, when he walked by Christians, he growled or was grossed out or didn't make eye contact with them. Paul was murdering Christians. Saul at the time, was destroying Christian families, tearing families apart. And then to think that he became a Christian. Imagine looking back on that past. Now the people that he's trying to convert to Christianity, knowing that just years ago, he was killing them. He was destroying their families. Saul was the type of person that nowadays, we would pray that he would not come anywhere near us. He's the type of person that we'd pray that he wouldn't even make it into our country. He was doing terrible things. Now the same goes for us. We can have really good things in our past. Maybe we were born into a good family or adopted into a good family, a good, strong Christian family. Both parents are around. Both parents are still together. Our siblings, like, don't even fight with us, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe you know all the important Bible verses. You know them by heart. You can even say them backwards. Maybe you were baptized when you were young or you've already been baptized. You go to the good school on the good side of town or your home school so that you don't even have to interfere with what's going on in school. Maybe you do really well in school. You get good grades, awesome grades. Your teachers thank you for coming into class. They're like, oh, thank you so much for entering my class. Maybe you're the popular kid. Maybe you have a whole bunch of friends. Whatever it may be. Maybe you got super good skills. All the good skills in all the right places. I don't know. Whatever it may be. But we all have some good in our past that we can look on. Some good that is behind us. And we can say, yeah, I like that about myself. Or I like the way I was raised. I like that I learned this. I like that I can do this, can do that. Whatever it might be. But then we also have bad in our past. Everybody's got something hard in their past. And I don't put that behind you guys just because you're younger or younger than adults because you're not adults. No way. You guys have been through hard things already, for sure. And you know what it means to hurt. You know what it means to struggle. You know what it means to go through pain. You know, maybe you don't have both your parents around. Maybe your parents believe differently than you do. Maybe you're not in a strong Christian family. Or maybe you don't know the Bible super well. Maybe you haven't been baptized yet. Maybe you go to a school on the hard side of town. Maybe you really struggle in school, whatever it may be. Maybe you don't have a bunch of friends. You're not the popular kid. I don't know, whatever it may be. Maybe you like look around and you're like, I just don't have any good skills. You know, whatever it might be. But we all have some bad in our past that we can look on, whether it's sins that we've struggled with, maybe something, an addiction we've had in the past, or sins that we've tapped into, that we regret having tapped into, things we said to our family, to our friends that we regret, things we didn't say that we regret, whatever it might be. But we can all look into our past and see some good, and we can also see some bad. But what Paul is saying, his encouragement to us is forget about the past. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, forget about it. Now that word forget, it's not like, notice the verse doesn't come with amnesia dust to blow upon yourself, like, you've forgotten now. You will never be touched by the past again. No, what it really means is to kind of shift your focus. Instead of living in the past, whether living on your popularity, your strong family, or living plagued by the the pain that you've been through, or the hurt that your family or that you have caused, whatever it may be. Paul tells us to take our mind, to take our eyes, take everything off of the past and look ahead. I love the way Warren Wiersbe, he says, break the power of the past by living in the future. So this brings us to our second point, to focus on what's ahead. So we can't be stuck on what's behind. We have to turn and focus on what's ahead. And I know what you're thinking. You guys are probably like, does the position of your head even matter when you're running a race? Well, yes. Yes, it does matter a lot. So recently, a researcher, Dan McCann, I know it sounds like I made it up because of that name, but I promise Dan McCann is a real person. He recently conducted an experiment to find out if the position of your head actually has any impact on your ability to run. So he took 16 female runners, they were long distance runners, they were good at running, they liked running, and they enjoyed it. They were skillful runners, the best of the best, not the best of the best, but like a college running team. And what he had each of the girls do was run a mile, and they each ran 3 miles, but with each mile they put a neck brace on their neck and made them look down, or like a normal position, or up. And so, and while they were jogging, they like checked their vitals, checked their heart rate, their like oxygen output or intake, whatever it would be. And so they're running, and they have their necks in the different angles each time, and it was a random order. And what they found, according to the research, the results, this is a quote, the results showed that the neck position had no influence on any part of the physiological variables measured. So, technically, running with your head like this has no impact on what your body's doing. Your muscles won't be different, your breathing pattern won't be different, your heart rate won't be different, but the runner's perceived effort level was significantly higher in the tilted forward and the back bent positions. So when their necks were like this and down like this, they had a higher perceived effort. And what that means is it felt way harder for them. They were like pushing way harder, trying way harder just to run a mile. And this is how it is for us, you know. It doesn't necessarily change everything about us if we take our focus off the past and what's behind it and focus on what's ahead. But it'll make it way harder if we're being weighed down by past sins, by past pain, whatever it may be. And so we need to look forward to the benefits of a walk with God. We need to look toward service, fellowship, the family of Christ, traveling. Like, as a Christian, I've been places that I would have never been if I were not a Christian. And then we need to look forward to the blessing, the wisdom that we have as Christians. Christians have a different mind and process the world in a different way than anybody else can in this world. Jeremiah 29:11, and we're coming to a close, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God has huge plans for each and every one of us. Different plans, totally different plans, but they're huge. And if we just take our mind off whatever's in the past, stop letting it weigh us down and just focus on what's in the future, God can do huge things with us. And we can run this race with endurance. And like verse 14 says, we can press toward the goal, press toward the prize of the upward call. And that prize, it's talking about in the future when we go before Christ and he asks us what we did for him. And we're going to say, we're going to list off all the things that we did for him, all the ways that we loved him, all the ways that we served him. And then we're going to receive gifts. We're going to receive rewards according to that. We're going to receive crowns. For some, it'll be bigger and better crowns because they did more. They ran that race harder. We're going to receive basically trust. He's going to trust us with leading cities, whether it's 10 cities, 5 cities, whatever it may be. For some, it will be more because they trusted God more. They ran harder with that race. So I encourage you guys to, whatever's in your past, good, bad, the ugly, to take your mind off it and shift on what's ahead, all that Christ has for us. And it is so good. We totally ran short on time, so I'm going to close right here. But if you guys have any questions, feel free to come up to me. talk to Chris. If Kyla comes back up, talk to her. Let me pray for us, and then you guys will be free to go. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that our past doesn't determine who we are, Lord. That whether we have hard things in the past or whether we have good things that we've really invested in, we know that you define us, Lord, and you transform us each and every day. So let us shift our focus from what's on behind and focus on what's ahead. And we pray that we would run with endurance the race that is set before us, Father. We love you so much, and we pray all this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, guys, that went super short downstairs, so you're good to go. If you have any questions, I know we have to go through that really quick. Feel free to ask me, ask Chris, Denlinger, Kyla, anybody else.